Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once Upon Hypable's Once Upon a Time podcast. And tonight I'm joined by Brittany, Laura, Karen, and Kristen. Hey, guys.
Hello. Hey.
All right, and we are going to discuss the latest episode, which is called Unforgiven. And it was a pretty interesting episode. Kind of intense. I wasn't really sure what was going on with Snow and Charming, but I think some interesting things came of it. So let's start off, as always, and give it our thumbs up, thumbs down. And Karen, why don't you go ahead and start?
This was a definite thumb sideways for me. I didn't particularly love the episode. I definitely didn't hate it, but I felt like not much happened. A lot of it was, oh my gosh, what is the secret? Oh my gosh, they're keeping all these lies from Emma. Everybody's, you know, lying to her. And I felt like not much happened. It was just like anticipating the secret the entire episode. So I was a little meh about it.
Okay. Kristen, how about you?
It's definitely a thumb sideways for me, too. While I love the idea of Charming and Snow having this dark, dark secret that they, you know, don't want to tell Emma, when I realized that it had everything to do with Maleficent, I was like, oh, okay. Well, it's not, can't be that dark then. All right. So it's a thumb sideways for me. I think this storyline will become more and more intriguing, but this episode was just meh.
Okay. And Brittany?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the same. I wasn't too thrilled with the buildup constantly, and then it just ending up being them taking, or I guess killing, the Maleficent's baby. We'll talk about what they actually did to the baby later, I guess. But I don't know. I felt like it wasn't a good payoff.
But I felt like, and it wasn't clear what they did to the baby. That's the other thing.
And I got excited that of how they fooled like Snow and Charming, and that had to be Rumple's plan, so I felt a little odd rooting for his plan.
All right, Laura, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I was also very thumb sideways about it. I think partially for the same reasons you all are saying, but also for me, I'm having a really tough time warming up to our new set of villains. Realistically, the only person I like as far as acting wise is Cruella. I'm finding particularly Ursula not like very good. I mean, I like that they've shown a little diversity in the cast so that we don't always have a storybook filled with white people, because that does seem to be a trend. But I find her a little flat, and even Maleficent too. And she did finally show up. I'm like, I don't know. They just don't grab me as characters. I think we've had a lot of more interesting people recently who have, you know, been on the show for a limited time, and they were really good. And I'm having a really hard time warming up to these guys. I don't enjoy watching them that much. I don't think they're that interesting. And I think it's what they're bringing to the role. So for me, it was definitely kind of a thumb sideways.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with all you guys. I think for me, the problem with this episode had a lot to do with the pacing. It felt super slow, and I like you guys pointed out, we definitely got bogged down with this secret that Snow and Charming, you know, kind of have that they're not willing to share with anybody, and then kind of having the, oh, well, we should have just told someone kind of thing at the end. It just felt, I don't know, it felt cheap, but I guess we'll see how kind of that plays out and continues to play out through the rest of the season. Because that's clearly going to come into play. So let's go move on to favorite quotes, because the one thing this episode did have was some pretty sassy quotes from our new leading villains, as well as Regina. One of my favorite quotes was from Regina, and it was, "Should have known that fish sticks and pound puppy were here for more than a second chance." I just love it. I love Regina. She is the queen of sass. So, all right, Karen, how about you?
My quote comes from Cruella, who is also Queen of Sass, And this is when she's all scandalized when Regina calls her jewelry costume jewelry. And she just goes, "These are blood diamonds, I'll have you know." And I know she's so over the top and ridiculous, but I love every second of it.
That was pretty funny. I like that too.
I do enjoy her. All right, Laura, what's yours?
I love this. It's a Regina quote because it just so completely summed up Cruella and Ursula. And she's like, "Those two might be tactless morons, but they couldn't magic their way out of a paper bag." And I felt like it was definitely the B team, and it was Regina calling out the fact that they were the B team. So that's where I like that one.
Okay. And Brittany, yours is pretty good too. I like this one as well. Go ahead.
I liked it because it was like, you know, Snow White's, or Mary Margaret, I guess, because we're in Storybrooke, her like little Grey's Anatomy moment where rest of the like show is playing out as she gives like this monologue in voiceover form. And it's when she's, the part of it that I chose is when she says, "Because when you betray the people you love, when you make them see the worst parts of you, what you've done changes everything. There's no going back. You've shattered the bonds you worked so hard to forget." And I think that that speaks a lot to Regina, like trying to, you know, prove to all these people that she's moving beyond her evil ways, just as Snow and Charming are trying to prove to everyone that they are these good people and keeping that facade up. So I liked it a lot.
Very cool. All right. And Kristen, what's yours?
Mine was from Ursula, who I do not particularly love, but this was kind of nice. It was when Emma kind of like walked up and she was getting into trouble with Ursula and Charming. And she says, Ursula says, "It would be nice if at least one of the Charmings lived up to their family name." And it just hit me. Like, it took me a second to kind of process. Then I was like, that's actually a really great one. So I'll give her that much.
All right. Yeah, there were some really good, like, one-off lines in this episode.
Definitely. Yeah, I liked when Maleficent came back and she's like, "You might not recognize me," as, like, a little nod to, like, her entire costume changing. Right.
They do slip those in there. I like that a lot. All right, so let's talk about, we're going to break it up, the episode into the past, and then we'll talk about the present. And the past is really interesting because the past shows the time when Charming and Snow kind of first meet Ursula, Cruella, and Maleficent. And basically the three villains come to the Charmings because they know Regina has stolen the spell from Maleficent and she's going to use it, and they all want to be protected. So they come to the Charmings and they ask them to go to the Tree of Wisdom. And the Tree of Wisdom will allow them to kind of get an answer as to how to stop the curse so that they can all remain in the Enchanted Forest. And on the trip, Maleficent, like, pulls out her dragon act to get them by certain people, and Snow and Charming are kind of repulsed by it. And then Snow and Charming kind of sneak away from the three and go to the Tree of Wisdom, but when they ask the question, it doesn't work because Snow is pregnant. Which was an interesting kind of twist that Maleficent's the one that tells her, "Oh, by the way, because your child could go either way because it's the product of true love," which I thought was an interesting concept. Because your child is the product of true love, it doesn't mean that it will be good. So what did you guys think about that? Because I think that's kind of really the biggest part of that whole flashback sequence. And there's one other one, actually. But one of the biggest parts of this flashback sequence is when you learn that Snow is pregnant. And then Maleficent kind of explains to her that it doesn't necessarily mean your child will be good. Your child could be evil.
I thought it was kind of myself. I thought it was actually kind of stupid in a sense that, like, I feel like that's true for anybody's kid. Like, it didn't just have to be true of the Charmings. Like, I know so many people who are, like, these really amazing good people, and sometimes you have a moron who's a kid, or vice versa. Sometimes you meet somebody whose parents are flipping idiots, and they are, like, the nicest human being on the planet. So I felt like, you know, I don't know that that has anything to do with your child being the product of true love. I don't know. I was having a tough time buying it.
Well, I think the big thing to note here is the fact that just because you're the product of true love doesn't mean that you're going to be a good person. And this is something that they have told us time and time again from the very beginning of Once Upon a Time, that villains aren't born, they're made. I mean, we see that especially true in Regina and everything that she's gone through. And I like that now they're sort of going the other way with that. And I think because the product of true love is so powerful that it's important to be like, yeah, you know, they could be really, really good, but they could also be really, really bad.
Very true. I don't know. I just thought it was a really interesting concept. I think part of it is, Laura, you know, you say you know people are going to be bad. I think because we're looking at the concept of fairy tale and how things kind of stem in the fairy tale world differently than, like, the real world, I think that's kind of what they're looking at. But I don't know. Brittany, Kristen, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, the only thing that, like, this whole thing brought up for me is how do you, like, prove that you're not ever going to be dark? Like, I feel like that's just an excuse now for any good person to become the darkest of dark wizards, because, you know, like Emma, she's proven time and time again that she wants good and her magic is light magic and it always has been. And it makes it a little too convenient for me that now she has the ability to go dark and she has this entire time and we just didn't know it. It just seems a little odd to me. That's all.
Yeah, and the same can be said about Snow and Charming, because they were, like, Snow was never perfect, and neither was Charming. They both lied. They both, like, stole and killed and worked their way up to where they were. And so how are they the most valiant and good doers if they're only going after one villain, who's Regina? And then they, in turn, as we find out at the end of this episode, have done, like, the worst thing possible. So there had to be something to, like, it's not just how you're raised.
Right. Well, I mean, it just, I think it's an interesting concept, but I'm not sure the execution is where it needs to be yet. And the other thing is Snow has done all of these things in her past. And again, the end has this kind of big revelation. And if that's true, then why was the darkness in her heart only shown after what she did to Cora? Why wouldn't her heart have a bigger spot of black in it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're kind of contradicting themselves in a place.
Yeah, I do. I totally agree with you, John, that, yeah, exactly. I mean, Snow was made out to be, you know, other than, you know, what happened with Cora, that was, like, the most stressful, horrible thing that had ever happened in her life. And for it now to be all this other stuff in there, it seems like they're retroactively throwing in a lot of these things and they haven't really thought it out.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we'll see how this kind of plays out through the rest of this arc, because it's clearly going to be heavily laced through in the arc, but it'll be interesting to see if they pull it off and shape it a little bit better. And then the last thing in this kind of flashback segment was Maleficent goes on her own to Snow White, and she has a conversation with her because Maleficent is legitimately concerned, and she has good reason to be. She is also pregnant. And she asks Snow for her help to save both of their children. And in that moment, Snow White is awful to her. And she kind of brands Maleficent as being evil and basically brands her child as being evil and refuses to help either one of them. And that kind of sets the tone for why Maleficent is so angry with them and kind of where she's coming from in the present and why they're so fearful of Maleficent. Because clearly they've done something wrong. And I think it's more than just what Snow did to her in refusing to help her and basically calling her evil. So, what did you guys think about Maleficent's revelation that she was pregnant as well?
I instantly just wanted to know who that baby's father was.
Me too.
Oh my God, yes.
Totally crossed my mind.
I was like, yeah. I was like, what idiot signed up for this? Yeah.
Like, who is the dad? I want to know right now. Like, that's important information. Right. That was the first thing that came to mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or did she come to him as Maleficent, or was she in some sort of guise? Like, I don't know. Like, the wacky lady with the horns does not seem like your best option. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
Although, I'll have to say that I really felt for Maleficent in this scene, because I feel like she was being very genuine, and, you know, of course she wanted to save her baby, and I think that it took a lot of guts for her to go up to Snow and ask for her help. And then for Snow to just shut her down like that, you know, having a kid is life-changing, and we've seen what Henry's done for Regina and how much she's changed because of him. And I feel like maybe the Snow back then didn't realize that that was a possibility, but it was kind of sad to see her just completely not even trust that Maleficent could possibly turn over a new leaf for her kid.
I was definitely surprised by Snow's reaction to Maleficent. I was definitely a little upset with Snow for the way she reacted. I didn't think it was, I don't know, it was a little surprising to see her so, like, calling someone out and being so evil and calling child evil. Like, I thought that was really odd, but
I was kind of on board with Snow in that moment, only because I thought Maleficent was lying.
Yeah.
Until the end. So, like, I really thought that Maleficent was, like, fooling everyone. And I was like, oh, well, this is going to turn out to be nothing. But then when that, like, orb thing reattached to be, like, a rattle, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, now I get it.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the present, because the present brought us some very interesting things. Let's first talk about Snow starts having these dreams. Okay, who's, like, breathing into their microphone funny?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was me coming down the stairs. I'm sorry. I had to
it's
go
okay.
Stairs. I thought I muted. I didn't.
No.
Sorry.
It's okay. Like, what is that?
Sorry.
So Snow starts off having these dreams where Maleficent comes and takes her baby, baby Neil. And so she's having these horrible dreams, and we kind of can guess that it's connected to, you know, the past, because we have seen some of the past. Then we move in and we see, this is probably one of my favorite things ever, is when Cruella and Ursula are in Granny's and Granny refuses to wait on them. Best moment ever. And they're just sitting there having this running dialogue about how Granny won't wait on them. And then Will comes in and Granny hands him his drinks and he walks out the door. And yeah, I kind of enjoyed every minute of that.
When and Will then, comes in
I know.
And she has it ready for him.
I know. I loved it. And then, but even better is when Regina comes in. And those two kind of start giving Regina a hard time about when she did these things in her past. And Regina's like, let me be clear. You will not talk about that in front of my son. And so, I don't know. I just, that kind of whole opening sequence I thought was really good. Especially the stuff with Cruella and Ursula and Regina. I kind of like it when they're together because Regina's like, oh no. You may think you're sassy, Cruella, but no. So, I don't know. What did you guys think kind of about that whole, how people are treating Cruella and Ursula?
I mean, part of it is Granny. Granny treats every newbie badly, sort of. But I really did like it. It's kind of like Paris, like an aging Paris Hilton getting turned down at, like, Denny's. It was just kind of perfect. I really liked it.
I just think it's funny that, like, the only reason they let them in town is that they are going to allow them to have a second chance to, like, prove that they're not these horrible people. And yet they don't care enough to actually, like, give them a chance. I think it's funny. Like, Granny's just like, no, they are who they are. I know who they are. I don't care. Like, no, they had time to prove it and they didn't. So now I'm not going to serve you and you can just sit at the bar.
Plus, Granny has Mary, Margaret, and David sitting behind them, glaring like holes into the back of their skulls.
True.
Yeah, true.
Like, I wouldn't want to go up to people who were getting those kind of looks either.
Yep.
And I think
I just
I
kept missing
feel...
red, too. Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I miss red, too. And I think I would feel worse for Cruella and Ursula if we didn't know from the very, very beginning that they were up to something.
Very true. But we know, so we don't really feel bad for them.
Did anybody else catch that when the knave came in, it was like a coffee order for two, and it was like his regular order, so obviously he's been...
We're going to get to that. Don't
okay,
throw it.
Okay. I'm sorry, but it was a regular coffee order, and I was like, who the hell is he bringing coffee to?
Just wait. We'll get to that part. It's in... Do you see the document at the end in very bold, big letters?
I know.
That's a discussion in and of itself.
I've had a rough week, and I don't have a left thumb that works right now, so be nice to me.
It's a good excuse.
It's not happening. Moving on. All right. So then we see Rumpel go down to the caves under the library, and he just pulls all the dust together, and evidently Maleficent can be remade from her dust. Awesome. Again, very like it just felt very clunky with the whole "let's revive Maleficent from her dust" thing. I don't know. Could be me.
I just interrupt here for a second because this is really bothering me. Talking about convenience and everything, why didn't Maleficent just turn into a dragon and, like, take them where they needed to go? Why did she have to char those soldiers? Wouldn't it have been a lot faster just like, hey guys, jump on my back, let's go, we'll be there in, like, 30 minutes tops instead of this, like, 2-day journey or whatever?
Yes!
It's seriously. The same reason that those giant birds in Lord of the Rings couldn't just fly them all to the mountain. Because they needed to make a point.
It's yes, really eagle. Frustrating.
Well, the same thing, too, even with David and Mary Margaret. If they needed their blood, couldn't they just have knocked them out and stabbed them in their homes? Like, really, how hard could it be?
I don't know. So, then, yes, we have that issue. But moving forward, we have a really great Henry and Regina moment where they talk about her being a true villain. And, you know, how she isn't proud of the things she's done, but she's trying to change and she hopes that she does change. So I really like that moment with Henry and Regina, and I like the kind of moments we're getting with them. What do you guys think about those?
I really like them because I feel like she's – oh, sorry. I feel like she's really trying. Like, in the past, we've seen her, like, say it and then totally regress. But, like, this time – like, she does have little moments, but she is not totally going down the path of darkness. Like, and if she makes a mistake – it's not a huge, like, I just killed somebody mistake. It's just kind of like losing your temper, which almost anybody would do. And then she goes back and makes up for it. So I'm kind of really liking, like, the depth of this relationship and how she still has flaws, but she makes up for it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm just loving that Regina is not perfect. She's not suddenly going to do everything right. And yet, when she does something that's not great, she recognizes it herself and fixes it. And that I'm really, really enjoying. I'm loving seeing her want to make a change and doing all of the work on her own. Like, that's really, really making me happy.
Yeah, plus these scenes, like, really reinforce her mission. Because it's not just, like, her telling a large group of people, I'm changing for the better. It's with the person that she's doing all of this for. I think it's not just for herself to make herself feel better. It's for Henry and ultimately, hopefully, Robin and Roland. So.
Aww. Poor Robin and Roland. All right.
I mean, so Marianne will do just fine in the real world. We'll just send her.
it's all good. It's all good. All right. So then we kind of move more into this David Snow stealth action where they feel like they have to follow them, Cruella and Ursula, around. So David breaks up a happy moment between Hook and Emma and drags Emma off to follow the villains. Now, did anyone else think, oh, gee, I can't imagine that Cruella doesn't see the cop car following her everywhere in its bright, shiny lights and says police on it? Did you guys find it odd that they thought it would be a great idea to follow them around town in the cop car?
Well, there were a lot of those little things that drove me crazy this episode, like the fact that Ursula's tentacle basically must have eyes because she has no idea what's in Gold's shop, and yet her tentacle can reach all the way to the back room and take the one thing she needs.
I was
things like that.
How long is that thing? Seriously. Right.
I know. It's things like that. They were sprinkled throughout this episode, and I think that's part of what drove me crazy. And the cop car is just another one that they don't recognize it. Like, really? They've been living in the mortal world for how long, and they don't see the cop car behind them?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, I mean, obviously they were planning that whole thing to begin with, so even if they saw the cop car, I think that kind of played into their long-term plan of getting Snow and Charming down to Maleficent's remains. So while I think there were a lot of convenient things in the episode, this one I feel like can be kind of explained away.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Well, I was just thinking, but like David wanting to follow them, if you want to follow someone around town to see what they're up to, are you blatantly going to do it in the cop car that they know that you're responsible for, like, the town and you're the sheriff? Like, it's not too stealth if you want to find out their secret plans, is my point.
Well, I guess their only other option was Emma's yellow bug, which probably wouldn't blend in either.
Yeah, plus I think he just wanted to keep a tail on them for that moment after he saw them leave Gold's shop, because I think, weren't they just waiting to hear from Belle to see if anything was missing? And then they would, like, have them in their sights immediately to turn on the sirens. So I don't think they were really, like, trying to hide. It was just sort of like, we know we're following you, and you know you did something wrong, so we'll find it.
And it's like Storybrooke, which has, like, what, one traffic light and 3 miles before you go over the line. So how hard could it be, probably?
Yeah, I don't know. It just is one of those things that annoyed me to no end. And then we get back, and David steals something from their car. And we know it belongs to Maleficent. It kind of matches her big staff. It looks like the dragon claw with the orb in it. And so he takes it because he finds it. And conveniently, they want him to take it, but we'll get to that in a minute. So he kind of shoos Emma off. Emma goes back to the sheriff's office and chats with Hook. And for whatever reason, Hook is holding something back about Ursula, that something's happened between them. Do we have any idea what that could be? Anyone?
Well, the only thing that it said was, like, it was worse than, like, breaking someone's heart. So I'm not entirely sure what that could be. I'm sure it has to do with her father, because we do have Poseidon cast, and he's going to play in as Ursula's father.
Why would I thought Poseidon was the Little Mermaid's father.
Well, no, that's Triton.
Triton, thank you. I was like, wait, sorry. Confused.
But they, like, it's never really mentioned in the original Little Mermaid who her father is, but, like, the Broadway adaptation of the Little Mermaid cast put Poseidon in. They're just like, yeah, that makes sense. And then they made, like, Triton and Ursula brother and sister, even though it's not, like, explicitly stated in the first movie or the like Hans Christian Andersen tale, but they're just making their own rules with all of these villains. So
interesting. So Karen, Ursula is related to Percy Jackson. It's all good.
Dude, I got really excited when you said Poseidon, because I'm like, if we get Poseidon, we can get other people. Let's do this Greek mythology thing.
Anyway, so that would be interesting. I kind of like that, bringing in Poseidon. So, okay, so I'm curious to know what Hook did. Like, that secret had me more interested than what what Snow and Charming did, quite frankly. Because it was played much more low-key and him being super uncomfortable, so I don't know. Then Regina decides that, her and Henry are talking, they realize that August used to help write the books, so therefore he must have some information about who the author of the stories are. However, we all know that August is no longer August. He's back to being little boy Pinocchio, which makes me so, so sad.
Me too. I miss August a lot.
I know. So Regina decides that she's going to go and talk to Pinocchio, and it kind of goes badly. During their conversation, Regina gets super frustrated that Pinocchio doesn't know anything, and she kind of shows her evil a little bit. I was a little concerned for Pinocchio for a few minutes. What did you guys think about Regina in that moment?
Honestly, my gut instinct was like, wow, that was really honest of her. Like, yeah, she probably shouldn't yell at the poor little kid, but you could tell that her frustration was just building and building with every obstacle that stepped in her path this week. And so it was like, I thought it was really honest that she just kind of lost it for a minute and then recovered and was like, oh, crap, I need to go fix this. So, yeah, I thought it was honest.
Yeah, it was definitely honest. At the same time, I was there going, no, Regina, no, don't do it. Don't do it. I was just like, please don't slip. And I was, like, very happy she recovered from it. But I was like, no! I was like, please, please, no more.
Yeah, I liked watching her in the beginning when she first started talking to Pinocchio. She was, like, trying so hard to hold back all the comments that she wanted to, like, say. And then recognizing that it is, like, a 6-year-old. But then when she finally, like, just blows up, I was like, oh, that was a good effort. It was a good effort.
Very true. So we know that, and then Regina goes back and she has this really great conversation with Geppetto. I really liked the way she spoke with Geppetto and how honest she was with him when she was apologizing for what she did. I thought that was a really good moment for Regina as well, regarding that whole situation.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite scene of this entire episode, because you could tell that it was so hard for her to apologize, and yet she knew that it was the right thing to do, and she put aside her pride to do that to somebody that I'm sure, you know, still in the back of the mind, she thinks is way beneath her, but she knew that it's what she had to do, not only to, you know, get what she wanted potentially, but to continue down the right path. And the fact, too, that Geppetto recognized that and was like, I can't really help you, but, you know, here's something that might, I think was really big of him, too.
Well, and the fact that Regina, like, took his criticism, because he was not nice at first, and she didn't blow her lid, like, she kept her calm and got to her point and made her apologies, and I was just really proud, because the Regina from, you know, season one, season two, the minute someone insulted her, she would go off the deep end. And so I just thought it was really, really nice to see the growth. You could really see the growth in this scene.
But she still was very much Regina, because she was like, will you shut up? I'm trying to apologize. It was great.
Right. You got to keep some sass.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really enjoyed that scene. So going back to the lovely Charmings, who can't seem to get out of their own way this episode, they tell Emma that they're going to go off on a hike, and they really are going to go retrieve Maleficent's ashes, because clearly everyone knew that Maleficent's ashes were all over the cave, and they should have just collected them and thrown them in the ocean instead of leaving them in the cave, because that clearly she could be resurrected from them. I mean, come on. Anyway, so they go to get the ashes, and that clearly doesn't end well, because Ursula and Cruella are waiting for them, and they need their blood in order to resurrect Maleficent. So they do their whole little resurrecting act, and Maleficent is back, and she basically tells the Charmings that she's not going to tell their secret. That's not what she wants. She just wants to basically torture them for the rest of their lives and watch everything fall apart around them, because she's sweet like that. So I don't know. What did you guys think of Maleficent and how she spoke with the Charmings once she was back to being herself?
I'm so glad she's back. Honestly, I know, somebody, Laura, it might've been you, said that you weren't like totally into her, but I really liked her in this episode, and I really liked how evil she was. And I'm kind of excited to see where this goes and to learn what exactly happened to her baby. And just kind of want her to go a little crazy. I don't know. She's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I like her when she's really calm. And like, I'm not going to do anything. This is going to eat you alive.
Yes.
And I'm just going to watch.
And there's something really unsettling about a villain who actually has a decent reason to be a villain. Like, when you have a villain that something's happened to them that's so horrible that that's why they're acting as bad as they are toward you, like, that makes it all the more real for me. So knowing that Maleficent actually has a reason to want to treat David and Snow as badly as she's going to makes me feel, you know, it just makes it feel a little more real for me.
And she's not an idiot. Like, I mean, we have a lot of really smart villains on this show, especially Rumpel in particular. But, like, Cruella and Ursula are definitely just lackeys at this point. But Maleficent, you know, I feel like she could almost go toe-to-toe with Rumpel. Maybe not magic-wise, but wits-wise. And that just makes her even more dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm just really curious to see how it all plays out, because I think Maleficent, I think she could be like Regina. She could be redeemable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's some qualities about her that aren't purely evil. And so I'd be curious to see if that by the end, if she is found a happy ending, or if she becomes more redeemable as the story unfolds. Kind of see where her plot line goes. So moving on from there, Snow decides that they have to tell Emma the truth, that they can't keep secrets, that they should have never kept secrets from her. Shocking, because, you know, they didn't learn from Hook last year, like last season when he kept secrets, or anyone else along this whole entire time that has kept a secret and it's gone so wonderfully for them. But they go to talk to Emma, and Emma and Hook are kind of having a truth talk about how she's not upset that he has done something that he doesn't want to talk about, but she's upset because he lied. And so they kind of have their moment, and they're having this moment, and Snow and Charming are kind of like eavesdropping at the edge of the room. And just as Snow and Emma go to, Emma and Hook go to kiss, Snow is like trying to get out of that room as fast as she can. And it kind of, Emma catches her, and then it's a big awkward family moment, which I found truly enjoyable. Did you guys think it was kind of funny the way Snow reacted when Emma was going to kiss Hook?
I did. I was looking forward to a little bit more there, and then it all went downhill anyway because she didn't tell Emma, and it was just so frustrating.
I know, and that was it. Like, she didn't come clean about it, and that was the other thing. She kind of just, like, hedged and then lied again, which
and they're like, both really? Such bad liars. Is like Emma not able to tell when people are lying anymore?
I thought she was a lie detector.
Wasn't that her superpower? That was my thing too.
Did your superpower disappear? Yes, I had a big problem with that.
Yep,
because they are the two worst liars on the entire show. I feel like she would be able to see right through that.
Yeah. I mean, I think she does. She questioned them throughout the entire episode, and I think that although maybe her radar is, like, dinging in the back of her mind, she's like, no, it's my parents. It's freaking Snow White. She wouldn't lie about anything. And, you know, clearly that's wrong. And, you know, just for the record, this is my least favorite trope, is when if you had just told the truth to begin with, none of this would have happened. And I realize that, you know, that's where the conflict comes from. But I feel like they could have done this in a much better way. And I can't wait until everything's out in the open. Until then, I'm probably just going to be, like, so frustrated.
Yeah, and it's not like Once Upon a Time is lacking conflict anywhere else where this particular moment would have made a difference, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it. And so at the very end, we have Snow kind of having a secret rendezvous with Regina to have a talk. And I think it's interesting that Snow is in a place now where her biggest confidant outside of Charming is Regina. I mean, that's really coming a very long way for them.
I just loved that she admitted the whole, you asked me to keep a secret for you and I couldn't do it, but I'm going to ask the same of you. Like, I love that she admits her own screw up and is like, but I'm still going to ask you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for her to acknowledge that with Regina, because really that's what changed the path of Regina's life in a lot of ways, was that Snow couldn't keep a secret. Even though Snow was a child,
it's like now she's giving Regina the chance to do what she couldn't do, and that makes me really happy. It's like, here's your shot to be a better person than Snow. Like, you're going to keep the secret and help her. And that could be, you know, like, that just gives me chills. It makes me happy.
I got so mad at Snow, though. Like, I completely agree with you, Kristen, and I'm glad that she admitted her own fault before asking a favor of Regina. But think about what she's asking Regina. She's asking her to go undercover with the Queens of Darkness. And basically, you know, it's almost like asking a drug, you know, somebody who is addicted to drugs to go back to drugs to, like, sniff out somebody else who's doing drugs. This could be really bad for Regina, and I'm just not here for her going back to the dark side, even if it's temporary. I don't want her in that situation where she's tempted to stay there.
No, I agree, Karen. That is my biggest concern. Even though Regina has come as far as she has, I think there's a danger to being surrounded by it again.
Yeah, and Snow to ask her to do that was so selfish. And I realized that the stakes here are fairly high, but, I mean, she should just come clean to Emma, and together they should just figure out what they should do.
But it never works that way, Karen.
I know. Yeah. And it's not like the shattered sight spell. Sorry to bring up Frozen. I know we're moving well past this. But where it was all fun and games because you knew it was temporary. Like, as soon as that spell was over, like, they could laugh about it. But here, that they're fully conscious going into the plan, it's a little different. Like, there's a lot more at stake. Plus, the whole town is finally believing that Regina is making the turn for good, mm-hmm. and they're not going to know that she's just playing a role.
Exactly.
It makes me so mad.
I don't know. It is frustrating. It's also frustrating because then Snow kind of, you know, begs Regina to do this, and then she tells her secret, which she doesn't tell her everything, or we as the audience don't get to know everything about the secret. So the secret is that in order to assure that Emma would be light, no matter what, that her magic would be light, they, Prince Charming and Snow White, did something. We're not really clear on what that something is, but they went to great extremes to make sure that she would have light magic. And we know it has something to do with Maleficent's child. But that's it. That's all we got for a secret, which is not a huge reveal, as far as I'm concerned. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, knowing that somehow this big secret that they've been keeping has to do with them, I don't know, stealing or destroying or injuring or hurting Maleficent's child, that's not, like, that's really surprising, because you wouldn't think that of them. But again, you're right, it's not a revelation. Like, we don't know anything, really. We just know that it had something to do with the baby. So yeah, I would have liked a little more clarity on what exactly they did, but I'm sure we'll get that coming forward here.
And I have a hard time believing that whatever they did was intentional, like intentional toward the baby. I think that maybe something happened as a consequence of something they did, but basically, like, showing that Snow White and Prince Charming killed an infant is, like, something you can't really go back from. So I have a feeling there's, like, a twist here.
Yeah, I agree with you, Karen. I just kept thinking it did seem just so, like, out of character for them to really have gone down that road. So I agree with you. I really, really kept thinking there would be some sort of twist.
Yeah, and I keep thinking that, like, this particular plotline would have worked better if we switched the Queens of Darkness with Xelena. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the Queens of Darkness would have been much more relevant had Snow, like, been carrying Neil as opposed to having Neil. Like, there could have been, the stakes could have been so much higher. I understand Xelena was waiting for Neil, like, they worked that in. But I think that it would have just played off better villain wise, but
good point. So anyway, I'm waiting for this big revelation of what they actually did, as you guys pointed out, because I don't think they actually killed a baby. I really don't. So I'll be curious to see what happened. Okay, did anyone else think Dragon Claw with the orb onto the necklace she had and it became a rattle and she shook it? Was anyone else waiting for, like, somebody to materialize and have it be her kid? Because I was. I have no idea why. I was just like, oh, wouldn't that be interesting if her child wasn't actually dead, but somewhere in Storybrooke?
I was expecting that, but I got super emotional when she, like, rattled it and was, like, really sad about her losing her kid.
Yeah, I was waiting for something to happen when she rattled it. Like, I didn't know if I was waiting for her kid or for something to go on, but I was kind of like, okay, all right, what's happening now? And then nothing. So
yeah, I was like waiting for the kid to be like BFFs with Henry or something, you know, in the one room schoolhouse, you know,
Henry's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Henry's girlfriend, there you go.
Well, no, I don't know, I don't feel like the child is actually dead. I feel like they all think that the child is dead.
Yeah, no, the child really can't be. Like, you just know the child is going to show up again. And the question is whether the child's a child. I mean, you know, it's the whole 28 years and under the curse, not under the curse. You know, who knows what age this child even could be. So, yeah.
Exactly.
The child is Granny, and that's why she refused to serve Cruella and Ursula.
But why would Maleficent be so upset with Snow still if her child really was alive?
Because she doesn't know it, Karen. Come on.
Oh, because she doesn't know it. Okay. Here's part of the conversation.
Here's the other question. Is anybody else annoyed by the fact that we have Maleficent, but we don't have Sleeping Beauty back in all of this? Like, this is also bugging me.
Well, she's in town somewhere.
Somewhere.
With her new baby.
With her new baby, but did not the last time we saw her? Wasn't there something with her and Mulan and whatever and Eric?
No,
and
they got rid of Mulan. Mulan did something else.
Another TV series. I don't know. I just was like, should not Sleeping Beauty be weighing in on this somehow? I wanted Sleeping Beauty anyway.
Well, maybe now that Maleficent's back, we will hear from her because nobody really knows she's back yet, except for the Charmings.
Okay, so yeah, I'm having a problem with, I guess because we've seen Sleeping Beauty, I feel like she should play into this. We haven't, I mean, and the same thing too, like Ariel, you would think Ariel would come back given this information, and I don't know, maybe Archie's dog will have a panic attack. I don't know. But you just feel like the characters that are sort of related to these guys, like they should come back somehow.
No, it makes sense. It'll be interesting to see. That would be cool, especially, I definitely want to see the dog, like, freak out when he sees Cruella.
Oh my god. Yes,
that would be amazing. Anyway, so now we're going to talk about the big thing that happened at the very end when Snow is giving her voiceover to everyone around town. So Rumpel decides that he's going to go spy on Belle and be a creepy little brat. And what he gets for his spying is Belle with Will. And hello, they're kissing. What on earth?
What is going on?
Freak out?
Yes.
So yeah, there's a jaw dropping. And I was just like, wait, what?
I'm like, wait, what? I'm sorry, yeah. What's that happening? Because how long has it been since they've banished Rumpel outside the lines?
It's been like 7 weeks.
Okay, so in 7 weeks, she's shacked up with Will?
Well, he was.
Shacking up, but she's snogging him at least.
Yeah, like he spent a lot of time in the library looking for his story. So she was kind of like, well, you're here.
And you're cute, so hey.
You're adorable, yeah.
It's time you moved on from duck lips. Like, seriously.
Okay, I still need to know what that story is. Like, what the hell? Because we never got any clarification on what he's doing in Storybrooke. And now if you're going to have him with Belle, we need some clarification. We need to know what happened.
Yeah, where's Anastasia? What's she doing? She dead?
I hope not. I'm
seriously.
Like, I gotta tell you, though, I'm, like, so good with Belle Rumpel. Like, I'm really good with Belle dropping Rumpel. Like, I feel like she has given him so many chances, and it can be, at this point, it could just sort of be like, you know what? We had something, but you screwed it up just too many times, and I just cannot continue to go back into this almost abusive kind of relationship. Like, I feel like she's like, yeah, there's still something there, but you know what? It just cannot be. I'm like good with Belle moving on.
See, it's that whole fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, fool me three times or four or five or six.
Right.
Like
seriously.
You can't even fool, yeah. But manipulate.
Right.
Manipulate me.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And I just feel like she was like, you know what? Been there, done that. Like, I've given you so many chances. And now it's like, yeah, like, she still feels something for him. But the bottom line is that she can just not trust him. So she's moving on. And I'm cool where she's moving on. Works for me.
See, I don't know about this, though, because, like, I don't have anything against her and Will getting together, but I feel like it came out of nowhere, and I feel nothing about it, because I don't even know, like, how they met, how they got interested in each other, what their dynamic is like, and I assume that, you know, after this, like, little shocking twist, we'll find out more, hopefully in the next episode, but I'm sort of, like, I don't know, very neutral on it, but other than that, like, why does Belle have to be with anybody? Why couldn't she just be on her own? You know, she's been with Rumpel for so long, whether she was actually in a relationship with him or working with him, for him, rather. You know, why can't she just be like, no, I'm a strong, independent woman who now owns this pawn shop, and, you know, I don't need anybody. I would love to see that.
And that would be fair, too. I don't, yeah, I agree with you about the whole Will relationship thing. I don't get it because we didn't see it. There wasn't even any indication of it. Do you know what I mean? And like, yeah. I said, I feel like Will's story is unresolved. I feel like Belle moved on super quickly and that maybe we've just signed Will's death sentence.
Oh no.
Do you know what I mean though? Like, let's be realistic. The Dark One is still dark. He has not changed his spots. So this could go very badly. So I'm a little confused as to what that's all about. And I don't know. I just wish they would use Will more and in a better way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's great that you move the fan favorite over, but let's actually give him something to do because he's really good. Do you know what I mean? I like him as an actor, and I like what he can do with a role, so let him do it. Don't bring in all these new evil people. Give us something to do with the ones we already have.
Let him go retrieve Robin Hood. Seriously, we need Robin back, and Popsicle Wife can stay there somehow. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was kind of, I was surprised by the Belle-Will thing, and I didn't really know how I felt about it. And like I said, I'm not necessarily a Belle Rumple shipper after everything he's put her through. But at the same time, this doesn't feel right either. It feels very kind of thrown at you and be like, eh? I don't get it.
Well, she's even taken aback when Cruella and Ursula walk into the shop and she's like, have you seen him? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's not healthy. It's just not healthy. It's too fast.
But I think it is
you're still married. I mean,
I think it is the way to get Will's story out, though, because
he
is clearly broken up about Anastasia, and we're probably going to get flashbacks to him looking for information, maybe, and then that's how we'll get the Belle and Will story.
I really hope so, because if you're going to do something like that, you can't just, like, you got to give it something more. You can't just put it out there and leave it. It doesn't work because we know this character with this backstory and there's no clarification on it. We know this character, you know, her story, and there's no clarification on it. So it doesn't really work if we can't have any kind of clear image of who they are and why they're together.
Yeah. And Will's been this like dangling story since
episode
one of the season.
And that's why I'm like, just tell us, give him something to do. Yeah. Make him BFFs with Hook. That would be hysterical. Do you know what I mean?
I'm all on board for that.
Like, come on.
Hook needs a bestie.
He really does.
Oh, that would be much. I don't know if I can handle that. Like, my heart, I don't know.
I just think it would be funny. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. There's so many things I don't know where they're going. But hopefully in a good direction where we get some really cool stuff to come out of it. So, I don't know. Do you guys have any other thoughts about this episode and anything we saw during the episode?
Yeah, does anyone else feel that grilled cheese is becoming the new hot chocolate with cinnamon? Because it's driving me insane.
There is that. Yes.
If I heard grilled cheese one more time, I was like, no, you don't need to mention a specific food item every time.
Oh. Hey, it's your new favorite thing, man. What do you want?
It was driving me crazy. I was like, seriously, we've moved past the hot chocolate after 4 seasons, but now we're on grilled cheese.
Hey, it's a comfort food. She clearly needs some comfort.
She eats like a child, to quote Regina.
This is very true. That was really funny, actually. All right. Does anyone have anything else for this episode? No? Okay. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.